Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word, the great book of Acts. Why do we study the book of Acts? Because it's how the apostles acted. That gives you an example of how you should act today. The events that transpired there were in samples, whereby we know how to react to troubled times, good times, how we know how to accomplish the teachings of Almighty God, whereby we are blessed. That's important in life. And we have just had a new opening in this chapter 10 of the great book of Acts, where Peter was showing that the mission of Paul, which would be in part to the Gentiles, that our Heavenly Father had opened up also, whereby if they repented and asked forgiveness of their sins and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they also received that Holy Spirit as the apostles had on Pentecost Day. And what a wonderful thing it is. Whomsoever will, God loves all of His children. And so it is. We have a little church dissension because of that in this 11th chapter. Let's go with it. Chapter 11, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father. And it reads, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles," that's the ethnics, "had also received the word of God." They heard that. Verse 2. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." That is to say that we're of Israel by the old law. You got to remember, Christ has already shed blood on the cross, which was all the bloodletting needed to be done for one and all time. Sacrifice, that is to say. Verse 3, "saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised." They were not Israelites, not believers. "And didst eat with them," which was against the Mosaic law, which was against supposedly the law of God. Verse 4. "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," and here we go again, laying it out in detail so you don't go wrong. Verse 5. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me." It was passed right down to me for the taking. 6. "Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and saw four footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, reptiles, so forth, and fowls of the air." Every last one of them unclean, according to God's law, health laws. Verse 7, "And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Now, the point is, you know from having covered that 10th chapter, we're not talking about food here. Peter did not consume any of that filth. The idea was that he would no longer, as the so-called circumcision back in verse 2, would condemn the Gentile. That you would not call them unclean or common. That was the whole point. Alophilos, I taught you that Greek word in the last lecture, which means different kind of people. That's what we're talking about. That if they should love the Lord and behave themselves honestly in the traditions of Almighty God. Verse 8, "But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." And according to God's law, so it was. You know, if you want to be healthy, God wrote us a letter, especially in Leviticus chapter 11, telling you how to feed these flesh bodies, whereby they are not quite as accustomed to illness as some might think. And Peter had not broken that law, which is not a law unto death spiritual, it's a law to your health, called health laws. Verse 9, But the voice answered me again from heaven. That's where it was coming from. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. In other words, if God takes a Gentile person and they repent, and God says they're Christian, then they're Christian. Don't you dare call them heathen any longer. Verse 10. And this was done three times for emphasis, and all were drawn up again into heaven. God, this is a triple witness, and God would not allow him to touch it, even though he would not have anyway. Why? Because that wasn't the subject. The whole subject of chapter 10 was opening salvation up to the Gentile, which was called common at that time, and unclean. When they would accept, they had to move this on their own part. It's not free. He paid the price himself. He paid an awesome price. But it is with free for you for the accepting. But they had to accept it, or else they were still out there, not fit. Verse 11. And behold, immediately, right at that second, there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea or Caesarea, whichever you prefer, unto me. They were sent there by who? By God, of course. The Holy Spirit's in control if you listen. Unfortunately, most people will not listen. They have to maneuver themselves rather than having eyes to see and ears to hear. Verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them. What caused him to go with them? The Holy Spirit. Nothing doubting. The Holy Spirit said, don't you doubt anything. They're uncircumcised. You go with them. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. There's three sets of two witnesses right there. A triple witness all the way around. They went with me. Verse 13, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so it is, Simon being a hearing and Peter being that rock on which Christ would, the true rock, the immovable rock, would build his church on Petra, which is a movable rock, but yet one that established that first church meeting, that many-membered body of 120, and began Christianity. Verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? In other words, if you'll go get Peter, he will give you words that if you will believe, not only you, but anyone in your house who believes shall be saved. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Whoa. Now, well, how was that exactly? Don't you ever forget how it was. It was all the way back to the Old Testament, as Joel the prophet said it would be, that both sons and daughters would begin to witness, to testify by the Holy Spirit speaking through them. It was on Pentecost Day when it happened. It was the Pentecost tongue. And lest you forget, we're going back there. How was it on that day? Don't ever forget. This cloven tongue, this fire came upon them on that 50th day. That's what Pentecost means, is 50th. And we pick it up chapter 2 of this same book of Acts, verse 6, to see exactly how it happened to them. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, stunned, it would be a better word, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It wasn't unknown. The true Pentecostal tongue is every language in the world. Whatever language is your native language, that's what you hear. And not only hear it, but in your own dialect. Well, I didn't know man could do that. Man can't. The Holy Spirit can. That's why it's called cloven. It goes out in all directions. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. It is not unknown. And if any man ever tells you it's unknown, he's misguiding you. Now, I don't say this to upset people. I am a teacher of God's Word. Accept God's Word, or you can go play with some man if you want to. That's up to you. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These are country boys from out here in Galilee. Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? I mean, it's even the dialect of the county in which we were born. We hear these Galileans speaking. They didn't hear the Galileans speaking. They heard the Holy Spirit speaking through the Galileans. That's exactly why it's so important. Many Christians wonder, well, I wonder what my destiny is. It isn't well enough for you that you have an opportunity to stand against the false Messiah and allow that same Spirit to speak through you, publicized to the world. You don't call that a destiny. You don't call that a purpose. You don't call that the will of God using His children that have eyes to see and ears to hear, to know they're not flying away somewhere, but that we have work to do, as Mark chapter 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21 so declare, that was spoken of by Joel the prophet in Joel chapter 2. It's going to come to pass exactly as it's written, for it is God's Word, and God's Word always comes to pass as it's written. This is why when Jesus many times would be asked a question, He would say, Haven't you read? You know, you've got the letter from God. Haven't you read it? You would have your answer if you would. And I would say to you today the same thing. Many questions are answered if you will simply take the Word for what the Word says, not what some ratchet jaw might have to say about Pentecost. So it have the same thing happened to those Gentiles that happened to us back in chapter 2. On Pentecost Day. It means they spoke in cloven tongues. Now, back to chapter 11, verse 16. We continue. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so it is. And when you are baptized with that Holy Spirit, it opens your eyes to the truth of God's prophecies and your ears to hear the real Word of God when it's taught, whereby you're not deceived by man or the false Messiah. 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, He gave the Gentile the same gift He gave to us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Why in the world would I want to argue with God? He's the one that sent me there, and He's the one that sent the Gentile to me. I'm not about to argue with God. Though there would be times that the so-called legalist, the brethren, would question Him, Peter knew. It wasn't when that sheet of unclean filth came down. That wasn't the fact that God cleansed food, filth, but that He cleansed the Gentile. That's the subject. Whereby if they believe, and that's a prerequisite, they must believe. And then upon them, whomsoever will can receive eternal life and be brought into the service of Almighty God. You know, is it not written, when you look forward to the great book of Revelation, and when you come to chapter 21, and then in verse 20, you come to this wonderful place where all Israel is gathered there around the temple with God. But who is this coming over the hill here? It's the nations, which is to say ethnos, with their kings and queens. That's those that have eyes to see and ears to hear now, coming to worship Almighty God. In from verse 20 through 24 in Revelation 21. How precious it is that God loves all of His children. Each kindred treated with dignity, with their own customs, as long as they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the principles of Almighty God's Word. Whomsoever will. It is open to them. And what Peter is saying here, if you think I'm going to argue with God, you're kidding yourself. He knew better. Okay, verse 18 to continue. Verse 18 reads, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. He has given them eternal life on those that believe. That's so wonderful and so precious that God loves all of His children. He doesn't play partial. He's not partial to anyone. He loves all. He has boundaries for God's elect and those that have free will. God's elect must, God will intercede in their lives. They were, as it's written in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, they were chosen before the foundations of this world. That doesn't mean they're better than anyone else. It means that they earned that right a little early. Fine. And we continue then with verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice, and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. That is to say, to Israel only. That's a little bit of a mistranslation. To Judah would only be one tribe of the tribe of Israel, and they taught to all of them. 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now here again, you remember what I told you about the Grecians. They were Hellenist. Well, what is a Hellenist? A Hellenist is a Hebrew that speaks the Greek tongue, not the Hebrew tongue. So here we have a question of language. A Hebrew speaker could not teach a Greek audience unless he had an interpreter. But here we had both teachers for the Hellenist as well as for the Hebrews. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. I mean, He was all for it. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I mean, it was amazing how that the conversions, this means of the Gentiles even. A great number of those Gentiles believed the sacrifice that Christ paid on that cross for all mankind. Allos in the Greek tongue. Everyone. Different kindred, whomsoever would. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, why would they send Barnabas to Antioch? You want to question these things. It makes the word very easily understood and explains language, which is part of what we're talking about here. Because, you see, Barnabas was of Cyprus. And Cyprus, they were Hellenist. They spoke the Greek tongue. Therefore, Barnabas could go to Antioch, which was that part of Syria to the north where the kings of the Hellenists were so-called living, hanging out. Therefore, they sent one that knew that tongue, that was Barnabas, where he needed no interpreter, and he could teach them. And again, this is showing you how that, if at all possible, that when it comes to a ministry, have teachers that speak the language to the people and who are being approached, whereby they can be reached without an interpreter. Otherwise, make sure that if you go there, you have an interpreter, or they won't even know when to say amen because they can't understand what you're saying. The God and the angels know what you're saying. They understand all languages. But if it's a different tongue than you speak, but this is why, if you want to learn from this lesson, why they would send Barnabas, because he was of that tongue and could reach them. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 23. Speaking of Barnabas, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. In other words, their hearts were driven with purpose, not to change their mind, not to pull away, but to serve Almighty God. Without a doubt, old Barney the preacher was quite a teacher, apparently. And he would strive there, and so it was. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This is when filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit was guiding, the Holy Spirit was giving unction, the Holy Spirit, quite frankly, was in control. When you come under that blanket, when you come under that wing of God and accept His leadership, not traditions of men, then you're going to succeed. Because the Holy Spirit does touch hearts. The Holy Spirit does touch the minds of people. And there's no one that can do anything about that. It is so. 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Paul's name isn't changed yet, but this was Paul's name before the change. 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples, that's to say the believers, were called Christians, Christ men, and Christ women, first in Antioch. How precious it is. We have here Saul coming to his fullness, in that you have his triune ministry here. You have Israel, you have the Gentiles, you have the kings and queens of the ethnos. So what you have is God's elect in the midst of that, and you have the name Christian established, first used there at Antioch, which was the capital of, I'm going to say, northern Syria, so that is not confused with Damascus, whereby the Hellenist tongue was spoken. You might say, well, how would Paul be doing this? Because Paul spoke many languages. Paul could communicate with the Roman, Hebrew, the Greek, and I have no doubt many of the Gentile tongues. Because Paul would say, I speak more languages than you all. He would use the word tongue, but that's what tongue means in the Greek. It's language. You must know a language before you can communicate. Otherwise, you have ratchet jaw and gibberish. And God doesn't deal in that. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and real truth. And the presence of the Holy Spirit always brings that peace, whereby man can understand and man can follow the way of God. So here we have Christianity established, the followers of Christ. Verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Oh, yeah, got them coming right on down. 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, that means a locust, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, A.D. 41 to 54. Josephus speaks of this in history as well as in God's Word. 29, and then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. You know, country people and farmers, they can get by pretty good because they know how to live off the land, even in bad conditions. But if you're in the city at a time like that, you're in a heap of hurt. And they all pitched in and tried to get produce and that was necessary to sustain the church who was in the city at that time. Verse 30, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Sent it right on down, and so it is. What a beautiful chapter. What a lesson we learn from God's Word. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is a parenthetical chapter, meaning you're going to have to kind of put it in parentheses as to what happened at this time. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. It's just the way he was, okay? You see a type within this for he is the second son of Antipater, which means anti-father, okay? Verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And a type in this, because James is the Greek name for Jacob, who was the brother with Herod being an Idumean, meaning one of Esau, placed there by the Roman government. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, that's to say those at Judea, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. In other words, Passover's coming. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions, that's 16 men, of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, I have to stop there because this is one of the worst translations from the manuscripts in the King James Version. Because, and I want to call up at this time, if I could, from the Greek manuscripts, what this word Easter was translated from. Do you see it there in the Greek, P-A-S-C-H-A, Pascha? Do you know what that is? It's Aramaic origin compared to this word, the Passover, the meal, the day of the festival of the special sacrifices connected with it. In other words, it was Passover, and this word Ishtar was a pagan goddess that a ritual, you know, many good college dictionaries will tell you that Ishtar is a pagan god. Now, how in the world could a pagan god's name be tagged onto Passover, which is the high day of Christianity? Well, brother, dear Lord, how can you say that Passover is the high day of Christianity? Because have you never read God's Word? Have you never read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, where Christ became our Passover? It is the most beautiful time in Christianity. And yet men would like to steal that away from you and snow you under with ignorance and your ignorance of, or cause you to be ignorant of the truth. coming from God's word, which the word there is Passover, never let a Kenite insert another word that is so misleading as a pagan holiday on the day that Christ was crucified, the Passover lamb. What an insult to Christianity. And yet at the same time, that only time it's mentioned in God's word, Ishtar, as Easter Day. Now, she's known as a little goddess a time or two, if you want to go along with her. And even secular scholars, they know who Ishtar was and where it came from. And naturally, many might say, well, what harm does that do? Well, it's pagan. You know what they did? You know what they did on Ishtar? They rolled eggs of fertility every spring in the woods for fertility. It was a sexual orgy that took place in the woods. Rolling eggs of fertility. Oh, dear goodness. Well, I'm a teacher. This is a fact. And then to add insult to injury, they bring in nowhere biblically connected, quick like a bunny. You know, it doesn't take a very intelligent person to begin to wonder who's trying to do what to Christians? Who's trying to snow them? Somebody is. But thank God for the Holy Spirit and the truth. God raises us out of ignorance into the light brought forth by the Holy Spirit, and leads us into truth whereby the Holy Spirit will give us unction, power, and authority to bring forth the real Word of God. Don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular disc. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it, the book of Ezekiel.
And there we are, back again. Let's have the 800 number, please, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. We have one judge, and man, is he able to cut it. It's our Father. He'll do the judging. You are to discern right from wrong and make that decision to serve Him. And the more you serve Him, the more that Holy Spirit overshadows your family, giving direction, protection, and blessings. It's the best way to be is serving the living God. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, as I said, the announcer will give you that address. But if you have a prayer request, you don't need the address, and you don't need the phone number. All you need to do is talk to your Father. You know, communication is what avoids trouble, misunderstanding, and gets things done. Always communicate with your Father, your family, and whomever. Okay, let them know you care. And when you understand the feelings of others and take that serious, you see, everyone has feelings. And our Father has feelings. He has a feeling of love for His children. He loves you, but He may not love what you're doing. But he does love you, and he wants that love returned. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Joshua from Virginia. Pastor Murray, I'm 11 years old. Do the animals we love and lose, do they have spirits? Our Father loves his animals. He created them both in the first earth age. He did in this earth age. And we know from Isaiah chapter 11, which has to do with the millennium period, there are animals there. God will always have the animals, and so it is. Patricia from California. Where in the Bible is premeditated murder not forgiven? Deuteronomy chapter 19, if it is premeditated, and it gives you what you should do in case of an accidental death, as well as a premeditated one. And then as it is written in the first epistle of John, I will repeat, first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15. A murderer cannot have forgiveness in the flesh. Why? Well, Father wants to talk to him, no doubt in the presence of the one that was murdered. And Father's fair and a good judge. Annette from Alabama. My question, is Satan now on the wrong side of the gulf, the abyss, or is he on the right side, or is he in the abyss? He's in chains in a special place. Michael said, Christ said, get behind me. And Michael and his angels have him all surrounded. And there he will stay. He's not in paradise with the others. Even his evil spirit, though, is able to still traverse the earth if you listen to him. For this is the time of testing. Who's going to follow the Holy Spirit, or who wants to follow the evil spirit? Some people can't tell the difference, and that's sad for them. Because Satan is very conniving and quite different than what some ratchet jaws would have you think he's like. He comes in prosperously, peacefully, and he is cunning and a deceiver. So amazing how that he can operate, and so it is. But he will be kicked out. And then at the end, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, he's turned to ashes from within. Finished. He won't be on either side or anywhere. He'll be ashes in the wind. Elizabeth from Ohio. I have never heard, recently a relative of mine died. She was very holy, and I know she went to heaven. However, I have had several people come up and tell me that those who died stay on earth for 30 days. I have never heard such a thing. Can you set me straight on this? Boy, can I ever. You know, we have a lot of false teachers in this world. False prophets claim to be prophets. But what does God's Word say? That's what you've got to go by. God's Word stipulates in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, instantly, not 30 days, not 7 days, not 3 days, not 1 day, instantly, the spirit, which is the intellect of the soul, returns to the Father that gave it. Period. And also to New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, to be absent from the flesh body is your zippo, you're present with the Lord. Leon from Kentucky, I heard you say on one of your programs that when you all first started your church, you all were holy rollers. My question is, when did you change from Holy Rollers to Shepherd's Chapel? That you misunderstood what was said. I said our first church building was a roller skating rink. And some people, because we purchased a roller skating rink and helped church in it, would tease us about being holy rollers. Okay. But we were then Shepherd's Chapel and will always be Shepherd's Chapel. Okay, who's the shepherd? Christ is. What is it happens in this chapel? His word is taught chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Laverne from Georgia. Let's see, a woman that can't have children, is it that he had other plans for them in life? There's no sin against that. That's a thing of nature that things happen. And Father, you know, Father is very understanding and very loving. There would be people that would come along and say someone that doesn't have children is this wrong, that wrong. That's malarkey. What is nature, and what is natural. And it is true that many times God has other plans, and God's elect are put where He wishes them. Therefore, God's work can be completed and finished as God has it written. Leroy from Virginia, thank you for your comments. When the Antichrist comes, will all the food I have stored away still be there for me? Sure. Until you're delivered up, and then they're going to feed you. But that's why it doesn't hurt to have a little food on hand. If someone is condemned to the lake of fire, will they burn for an eternity, never ending, being in the fire? Well, what does Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 concerning the wickedest man that God ever created? That's Satan, king of Tyrus. What does it say happens to him? He is turned to ashes from within, and he is ashes forever and ever and ever. There is another acrostic, which is hidden in the Hebrew manuscripts from the English reader, but you with companion Bibles, you're very fortunate in the 37th Psalm, which stipulates the question is asked. It's given in three parts. The question is asked, why does it seem like the wicked always get ahead? And God said, don't ever think that. Because, secondly, they're going to be like the fat of a lamb roasting over an open fire on a spit. They are as not as the lamb, but as the fat that drops into the fire. What happens to it? And it goes up forever and ever. And the third part of the equation is, the acrostic is, you're going to be there to see it. So they end up blotted out. That's what ashes are. And they are ashes forever and ever and ever. Heaven, in the estimation of some people, we have Almighty God and we have the altar. Everybody is sitting around praising God. What's this right here? It's a lake of fire. And there's old Uncle Ben in there just screaming his head off, and we're all rejoicing. And there's Aunt Mary, and the Lord only knows she's screaming, and they're suffering and withering in pain. And this is heaven. What's wrong with that picture? It's not biblical. Ashes forever and ever. Nona from Nevada. Where can I find that Kenites are the sons of Cain? Okay. You have to have a Hebrew dictionary. Now what you want to do is, if you have the Strong's Concordance from this chapel, I recommend you get it from this chapel, because there are some out there that are not quite complete. And we try to be very guarded. And check out the word Kenites. Check it out in the Hebrew. It only has one meaning. Sons of Cain. In other words, for you to say, where can I find that Kenites are the sons of Cain, would be like me asking you, how can I prove who is buried in Grant's tomb? Okay. In other words, you're saying the same words in two different languages. In the Hebrew tongue, Kenites is sons of Cain. It only has that one meaning. And the word in the Hebrew is Kagan. Kagan. You've heard it quite a bit recently. Kagan. Pronounced so. Frank from Arizona. There can... Okay, let's see here. What do we got? I am a vet from World War II. Well, God bless you. But he said, let's see, a preacher, a firing pit forever. Oh, somebody said they were in a firing pit forever, and I told him God is showing his anger many times, but he said hell is not hell because he put King David there. Can you explain why God gets angry and why he put King David in hell? Well, number one, God, when somebody does his children wrong, has righteous indignation, and he doesn't mind using it. It's called tough love, and he can get rough, okay? But God didn't put King David in hell, okay? Saul kind of chased him around and made him think he was in hell a few times, but David was a man after God's own heart. So I don't know. You need. I'm not going to judge your pastors that you've got there in that place, the retirement place, or wherever you're at there. You got three retired preachers. But anyway, I wouldn't. I would be very careful. Okay. Ellis from Tennessee. What do you think Enoch's job will be after or during the return of Christ? Same as yours. We talked about it earlier. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak against Antichrist. And during the millennium, teaching those that did not have an opportunity to learn in this earth age or the age before. We're going to even it out. That's what God's plan is. Tracy from Tennessee. Okay, first and foremost, you rock. Well, thank you. I'm ready to unload. This is my fifth or sixth letter, so I pray you read it on TV. First question, did Esau not care about his heritage in this earth age or the prior? No, he didn't. That's why God hated him. Even while he was still a little baby in an embryo in his mother's womb, as it's written in Romans chapter 9, he hated him. Why? Because he didn't give two flips about God's wonderful love of family. The giants, since they were hybrids and not God's creation, did Father put a soul in them? Of course he did. Everyone has earned the right from the first earth age to be born into the body that they're born in this earth age. I know that seems to offend some people when I say that, but God is fair. But the beauty is he gives us all a chance to improve ourselves, to work out of it, okay? I understand the Kenites are a race. If it is not an acceptable thing to ask, I understand, but which race are they? Sons of Cain. Naturally, that's the race they are. That's what the word means. Don from South Carolina. My question is, when I am repentant of my sins, should I try to remember all of them or just pray to the Father to forgive all my sins that day and any I forget? Thank you. You at least want to remember what got you into the trouble so you don't do it again. But don't repent to God again about the same sin, because he forgave you. And if you ask again, you're kind of calling him a liar, and that's not healthy. If you want to make him a little angry, just go ahead and do that. When he forgives, he says, I don't want to hear about it again. But the only reason you remember it is you must forgive yourself, but you must also remember it so you don't create that sin again, if possible. Okay, we've got Nancy from Montana. Okay, thank you for your comment. What I would like to know, my sister has put my husband and I down for having church on television. She says that we are sinning because we do not go to church on Sunday. I have told her that I learn more from church on television than going to someone, so we stopped going because I got tired of her putting me down. Well, you know, when you're adults, You must tell her, you're in church, even if it's television, you know, we're gathered together in the spirit, studying over the ether waves. We are gathered in a group. And you are in church, because Shepherd's Chapel is a church. And there are people who will criticize that, but that's fine. You're an adult. Tell her you love her, and this you learn more this way, and you're happy with it. And coming from Montana, I know sometimes it's quite a ways to a church. And it's good to have you with us, and welcome to church. And let your sister continue going there, and you study here, and let her know you love her. Jake from Kentucky, question, since the... I don't want to mention these politicians' names. I'll go down here. Will this continue, Jake from Kentucky, will this continue in your opinion, or will enough true Americans get tired of how the feds are running the country and put a stop to it? That's the beauty of this nation. Many of us have shed blood, yours truly including, to make sure that every 2 and 4 years we have elections. And if we don't like what's going on, we throw the bums out. Without firing a shot, we just get rid of them. Boom. And the American people are not easily fooled. Some people may think they're fools, and they may try to do double talk. You don't deceive the American people. Too many of us have fought long and hard for freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom to live where we want to do what we want to, and to relish and enjoy that freedom. You know, there's a lot of countries that you have to go have permission to go across the street. I couldn't live under that because I live in the land of the free. We don't let some quack come along and try to take that away from us. We throw the bums out. Yeah, we do that. Without any problems, just vote them out if you don't like them. That's the beauty of this nation. Stephanie, I'm 14 years old from North Carolina. My question is, a friend of mine at school and I were talking about Christianity, and she asked me if I open prayed. I asked her what it was, and she explained it like this. Open praying is where you pray in the morning and leave it open throughout all the day you pray, and at night you end the prayer with amen. And we always prayed and ended in Jesus' name, amen, every time. Can you explain which is good or bad? Thank you, and we all love what you do and how you teach us about God's Word. Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate that. You know, I would see nothing wrong with what she does, but I think still you have to... Jesus told us how to pray. You pray to the Father. But you have to pray as you're doing in His name. Or it's that's your credentials that you're a Christian, that you're a believer. And amen just simply means that's that. So I feel you are doing it the correct way, and thank you for caring. But don't disassociate with this girl because of this. If that's the way they want to pray, hey, let them pray that away. It beats not praying at all, that's for sure. But, you know, there are many things. What if something happened to you in the day and you didn't even get to end the prayer? I feel that you need to communicate and take care of business when you have the opportunity. Penny from Florida. What was the purpose of Pentecost in the Old Testament? Well, it was in the Old Testament. It was harvest time. It was the Feast of Weeks. And quite frankly, it was the 50th day after Passover, and it was to celebrate that as well. Quite frankly, all of the feasts are to celebrate Passover. And that's as it is. Fine. Without that blood of the Lamb that causes the death angel to pass over your family, your house, your being, you're in a heap of hurt. And that's what Fall Fellowship, that's what Pentecost and Passover all stems on the same. It's to celebrate. Of course, through that, the harvest was a wonderful time. And in that part of the country, that was the time that the barley and first fruits would be coming in, and was the blessings of God. Deborah from Tennessee, what does it mean when you say the Gentiles? I was told by someone that we are the Gentiles and we were grafted in. Please help me to understand. The Gentiles are grafted in, and we read a good lesson about it today. If they become believers, they can be grafted in. This grafted in actually comes from Romans chapter 11, where it says God put the spirit of slumber on some, and that whereby the Gentiles could be grafted into the tame olive tree. Many people try to place the whole house of Israel in one tribe. That's the tribe of Judah. And there are 12 tribes. So when you're talking about Judah or the Jews, you're only talking about 1/12 of Israel. There's a whole lot of tribes that migrated and dispersed, and in God they trust. And you need to think about it. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but most of all, God loves you for it. Doesn't matter what somebody says, God loves you for it. And when you do that, it makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. That's the way our Father operates. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the show.